May 29, 2021, it's Watt from Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro Show. Happy Saturday, last Saturday in May. Almost time for Blue Oyster Cult song, Last Days of May. I shouldn't wait for the last days. Yeah, Monday. Anyway, we started with Sweet Sapphire Blues, John Coltrane. And then David First with Etude Number 3. And, yeah, Brother Matt, love God on the pleasure point a couple miles south of here. It's quit quarantine mode still. But I'm not totally man alone because those genius software engineers in Estonia with the Skype invention, I got David First. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing great. Yeah, okay. Great.
Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. Where are you talking to me from?
Greenpoint, Brooklyn, New York, okay. USA.
Great neighborhood. Your earliest musical recollection, please.
My earliest musical recollection, and I'm not even sure why, is an old folk song that was actually a hit on the radio, and that's where I heard it. Hang on, Hanging Down Your Head, Tom Dooley. Do you know that song?
Oh, yeah.
Kingston Trio?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why that hit me, but without even having to think about it, that's what comes to mind.
Yeah, and remember, David, it's a Watford Peter show, so there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
It's like a murder ballad about somebody being stabbed and hanging, so I don't know, that had quite an effect on me somehow.
You wouldn't say scarred. Branded upon the brain.
Wow. Yeah, possibly. Possibly.
I got asked to narrate that movie, the Canadian guy, Guy Madden?
Yeah.
Okay, so the pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
Well, yes and no. Not in my actual nuclear family house, but both my grandmothers, who I guess was where I got most of my influences, musical influences, they were both, one was a singer, and she had a piano in her house, and my other grandmother just played piano by ear, and neither of my parents are musicians at all, although my father was a big influence because he was an electrical engineer, and I got a lot of information out of him. But as far as actual musical, whatever got passed down, it skipped a generation, I suppose.
Well, those pianists, now you would visit over there, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, we were over there a lot, especially when I was young. Yeah.
Did you jump on the pianists?
You know, I don't think I did. The one thing I did take advantage of was one my singing grandmother always had tape recorders, which was, you know, kind of an exotic thing back in those days. You know, I'm talking about like late 50s, I guess, you know. Those I would play around with. And my father would show me like little tricks about like how to make, you know, your voice slow down and speed up and run a tape backwards. So little things like that had a bigger influence on me probably than the baby grand she had in the same room.
Okay, reel to reel, because no cassette yet.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Look, you know, it's all device, right? And you repurpose, you can make anything musical, I think. Maybe that's just a theory. But what about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
I was in the All Philadelphia Boys Choir as a young boy. Never did anything too auspicious with it. Just sang as part of, like, you know, 200 other kids. I think what I liked about it most was we got out of school to do it. So it was kind of like you'd get, like, kind of special treatment. You would get to leave school, go to these rehearsals. So I don't really remember having much of a, you know, any musical epiphanies that came out of it.
Well, some schools got rid of their fucking programs, so that's why I always ask about it. Some people, you know, like church and stuff, temple, that's where they learn how to sing rock and roll. You know, so everybody's got their own journey. That's why I ask these kind of generic things.
It's, I see.
Yeah. What about the first record you bought for yourself, David? Your own money.
Ronnie by the Four Seasons, the 45.
Right, in those days, probably drugstore, right?
That I could not tell you. I know I went to a lot of department stores back in those days, but I don't recall where I actually purchased it.
I remember my first 45, like Thrifty, I think was what they were used to be called. They're called Rite Aid now, I think. But, yeah, there wasn't really full-on record stores yet.
Huh.
Yeah, when I was a boy, when I first came to California. That's what I remember. And I know that the Tower thing in Sacktown was like in the back of a drugstore started. This guy, his father. What about first gig you went and saw?
First gig. I saw... Well, I'll have two answers for that. The first show I remember seeing was at Steel Pier in Atlantic City. I went with my mom to see Herman's Hermits. The first show I went to with a friend of mine, like, you know, a couple years later, on my own, was The Doors and The Nazz in Philadelphia. Both in Philadelphia, yeah.
And Nazz was...
Todd Rundgren's.
Yeah.
That was actually, I didn't find this out until many, many years later, and actually recently, but that was their debut performance.
Wow. I was thinking of a nice, that was Keith Emerson. So.
No.
Yeah. Of course. Much different. No, not much different. They just both start with N. How'd you get on the guitar?
Well... I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I am sure, but I don't remember the day or the actual period. It didn't occur to me until years later. I started playing, you know, with about a billion other kids in 1964, which was, you know, as we all know, a big breakthrough year in rock and roll. And but I mean, I remember being into music before that, but it never occurred to me to play music. I mean, that was kind of, you know, it's kind of interesting. I went back recently and I was listening to music from what I consider like the first era that really grabbed me musically, which was like before, like the earlier 60s. And it's quite a magical time, you know, when you're listening to music and you have no idea what's going on at all. And you're just listening because you love it, you know, and it becomes a little more complicated once you start playing it. But I would say it was like in the fall of 1964. But I don't remember consciously saying, hey, I want to start. It occurred to me years later, oh, I guess that was why I started, because I saw all these people playing guitars on TV and, you know, I started realizing more what was going on a record before that, like who, you know, when I was like 9 years old, I just listened to music. I didn't hear, oh, there's the guitar. Oh, there's the bass. Oh, there's the, well, I don't even know if we heard any bass players until, you know, we could actually hear them on the radio, on our stereos, actually. But you know what I mean? I don't remember picking out instruments.
James Jamerson on those Motown songs. He's the cat. He is the man. We all us on bass owe that cat so much. I want to play Lamentations for the Kill.
Okay.
Net, tuna net. Get what you get. What you get is wet.
Pedro Show. That chunk of music started with David Furse, Lamentations for the Killed. Then Bombus Prendon with The Time Machine at H.G. Wells, the opera. Yeah, that's some title. Tune in that after that. SLWCC Watt Project out with Sam Locke Ward, now with City. Sam Pedro Connection. Mike Cooper and Elliot Sharp. There's two guitar men right there. Variable Vacuum Voices. Bob Bucko after that with Public Health Bomb, Dubuque, Iowa. And Note Killers, Airport. Okay. How did you get your first guitar?
It was a loaner from an aunt. It was like, I don't even remember. It was like some off-brand. And it was a round hall acoustic. And speaking of tape recorders, I remember my father made me my so-called first electric guitar by sticking the microphone from the tape recorder into the hole of the acoustic guitar. And then I would use a tape recorder as the amplifier. The first guitar that was all mine was a Silvertone F-hole guitar, also an acoustic.
Silvertone, Dan Electro. Yeah, made for Sears.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if you're of that era, but I remember, like, you know, staring at that Sears catalog and just, you know, just coveting all those guitars in there.
Yeah, I think Montgomery Ward was the airline national. Dan Electro's were Masonite. No, those guys, some of them were plastic, trippy. What about lessons?
Lessons. I took some lessons when I was 11 at my local. That's how I started out. My local, you know, music store had a, you know, few little closets in the back where people would give lessons, private lessons. I did that for a while. Stopped for a while. Then I started again later on, maybe a year or so later, with a very cool guy who taught me a lot of things that I still use to this day. You know, like he was the first person that, you know, told me about, you know, Bob Dylan, you know, different blues artists, taught me the drop D, you know, if there's ever been a game changer in my personal life on guitar, it's been learning drop D. Some finger picking things. He was a folky, you know, I learned a lot from him. Marty Jaffe.
Yeah, that's great you acknowledge him. There's no a greater gift than the gift of music, you know, enlightening somebody like that. I'm not saying after school like graduation, but in the afternoon, did you do the garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
Sure, but I would say it was more of a weekend thing, like an all-weekend thing, like from Friday night till Sunday night. I don't recall too often doing, you know, like, maybe we got together in the afternoons, but unlike, you know, on school nights, you know, that was kind of verboten. but, yeah, I mean, I lived for the weekends, my pals and all the people who hung around with us, yeah. And we would just do that all weekend.
Now, did you, like me and D Boone, we copy songs off records, but I've had people on the show, they were doing original material. What were you doing?
I think when we very first started, we were doing like covers of Yardbirds, Cream, people like that. Some more official blues. But I very quickly got into that thing of, you know, writing songs.
Can you remember the first song you wrote?
Sorry?
Can you remember the first song you wrote?
It was called The Last Judgment. It was a heavy one.
And you were a teenager, right?
Yeah.
Those are heavy years.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was all about how it was all about betrayal, like friends betraying me and things like that. You know, it was just really that's how I got out. You know, a lot of that morose aggression.
Yeah, mine was. I didn't write anything till the movement, really, but I did write one called Mr. Bass, King of Outer Space. It was basically about doing a bass solo and blowing the rest of the band off the stage. Yeah, I obviously had issues. Well, you know, there was such a hierarchy in those days with bass guitar, you know. Like, no one wanted to do it. But I am very grateful for D. Boone's mom putting me on the bass. It was the best. But I remember, the hierarchy of things. This band, do they have a name?
Yes, Dead Cheese.
Dead Cheese. Now, was it just a practice band, or did you guys ever do gigs?
No, we played out.
Do you remember the first gig?
Well, other than, like, maybe, like, playing for, like, family, things like that, our first official show, in other words, leaving our neighborhood was... Yeah, it was actually at a place called Neighborhood Center, like a youth kind of gathering place. And they had a club there in the basement for kids called the Yellow Submarine. And that would have been 69, maybe? I don't think it was 68. It was probably 69. 1969.
And was it a success? They throw shit? I mean, what happened?
Oh, yeah, we got invited back.
Okay. Because I've had lots of shit thrown at me, and I'm always curious about that. Especially
and that came later.
That came later. Yeah, batteries, they hurt. Motherfuckers. So the Yellow Submarine with Dead Cheese.
Yes.
Yeah. And playing in front of people, you guys are doing original material.
Pretty much all original material at that point, yes. Wow. Some blues, some traditional blues.
Well, I ask because, you know, I'm 13 in 1970, so my teenage years are all the 70s. And no one in Pedro, where I live here, wrote their own songs. Zero. Till the movement, I met people up in Hollywood.
Right.
It was and I think, you know, I did 125 months with the Stooges, so I learned stuff about 60s music. And there was a lot of those things going on, like clubs, little labels, garage bands. I think it was just my period, arena rock.
Huh.
Yeah. So I'm always curious. And that's interesting. And what happened to Dead Cheese?
Oh, people graduated high school, you know, moved away to go to school. Dead Cheese included two of the people that ended up being No Killers, like a few years later, when people came back from school. So actually, No Killers, the two people in No Killers, actually, we go back even a lot further than that.
So, like, Dead Cheese evolved kind of into No Killers.
Well, there was, like, five, six years in between. But, yeah, I mean, we all evolved as humans and came back together and brought new influences and new approaches to instruments and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, the laughs we share go back even before we played instruments. I've known Barry, the drummer, since we were 8 years old. And Steven, you know, a couple years after that.
David, I know exactly what you mean. I got into music to be with D. Boone. It was,
yep.
You're right. It's like another, it's a way to share, but it's the friendship is really important. Yeah. We're at the end of the first hour, May 29, 2021 edition WAP Pedro Show, special guest David First. Hold tight for hour two. May 29th, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watch Pedro Show.
your hope is a sensitive man who knows that you should believe now. My eczema pride means I'll stay inside and make this world too proud. Recycling to me is my great charity. There's my Sally cries out. How do you see your disparity? Come from staring sound. Go remote. With all the channels I own. And all my dreams are on loan. Time, what if I close my mouth? This IBS disease, a male profundity, makes my shower turn brown. And then my soap, realized and broke, as the tables turn round. How about you need a little more currency for the stereo sound? Larry Moe. And all the channels I own. And all the dreams are on loan. And I knew right away I love the stereo sound. And I knew right today I was lost without found. And I knew right away.
nameless nights are such a thing of the past. Sometimes I think of the way I used to be, and what has become of the seeds that you planted in me. What happens when all of your dreams come true? Well, I get to spend all my days curled up next to you, and I know I'll be living in ever after. Happily, you're so at least reasonably. I hope that when all of our days are done, that we really
Walk from Pedro's Show start off the second hour with Note Killers doing Brain Dance Explosion. Albert DeMuth, A Charitable Man, after that. Hanson Potker. Sorry. Reasonably So. Lucas Abella with W is for Warts. And finally, the Note Killers with Zipper. The Zipper. Okay, let's talk about the Note Killers. David, please.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Everything.
Everything.
Well, I know a little bit already. They come from Dead Cheese. They actually come before yes. Dead Cheese. But, like you said, you guys played music together, then went apart, then came back, and you make this band the Note Killers.
Right.
Like, why did you change your name? Why didn't you use Dead Cheese again?
Well, that wasn't even a consideration, really. It was a whole new venture, a whole new era. I had been through a lot of things in between. I mean, we all have, but I had been particularly through a bunch of musical things. And, it wasn't like anybody was going to remember us and be glad we got back together. So it didn't really ever occur to us to do anything except a totally new venture. So that's the answer to that.
Okay, what's the first note killer gig?
We did like a coming out party in October of 1977. And actually, at that point, it was just Barry and me. We didn't even have a bass player at that point. It was just the two of us. And we played a bunch of the songs that I had come up with.
You know, when I hear about that, I always think of that poor, lonely kick drum.
I don't know. I don't know why we didn't have a bass player at that point. I don't think that was our sole intention. I think the idea was, let's see where this goes, and then we'll add a bass player. It was always, I think, the intention to add one. The first show we did with, as a trio, I'm sure it was in Philadelphia. It might have been at the grand opening of a friend's store, at a place called Grendel's Lair in Philadelphia. But, you know, you really got me with that one. And I'm usually pretty good with remembering important, significant dates in history.
That happens. Don't worry. Shit.
I'll get back to you on that.
Play The Consummation of Right and Wrong, scene 14.
called Larchmont.
No, no. Wants to be 25 feet tall, but she's too small.
B-Bear Show, that chunk of music started with the Western Hemisphere, the consummation of right and wrong, scene 14.
Then from, and the correct pronunciation, too. Thanks.
Did I? Oh, whoa. Let me break my arm, pat myself on the back, because I usually fuck up people's languages and names. And Scare Kits from the No Wave days, live, Larchmont. Psychic Hotline, brand new, luxury. Spray from Giovanni Aldoppio Gin. Morgan Delt with Obstacle Eyes and Consummation. Right and Wrong Scene 5 from the Western Hemisphere. So you said there was stuff in between musical.
Yeah. Well,
and
No Killers. It was. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm curious.
Oh, well, after high school and, you know, everything broke up and, you know, the whole, everybody in our crowd, we had a huge, we started out as a bunch of, like, you know, kind of, there was a small group of us that, you know, kind of didn't fit in anywhere, kind of misfits in that way. And by the end of high school, though, we had a whole huge crowd of people that, you know, we attracted through just being in a band and having an interesting scene and doing a lot of crazy, having crazy adventures, you know, outside of the band even. But then when high school ended, you know, everybody went their separate ways. And I just like, well, what am I going to do with my life now? And I had started getting into some other musics, even towards the end of high school. You know, I kind of got burned out on a lot of the bands I loved, and a lot of the bands I loved burned out and or passed away, you know, and things like that. And I started getting into, I was really into psychedelic music, you know, that just killed me, you know, that whole era. And I looked for my psychedelic music elsewhere because it seemed like nobody was really doing it in rock and roll anymore. And I started getting into, you know, free jazz. You know, I started exploring John Coltrane and some of Miles Davis's stuff and, you know, all of the, you know, heroes of that particular genre. And I got really immersed in that and just totally only listened to it for a few years. And ended up playing in some fairly interesting situations. I took a course that Cecil Taylor was giving in Glassboro, New Jersey, that led to him asking me to join an ensemble he put together in New York to play a concert at Carnegie Hall. This was a couple years after high school. This was like 1973, 74. I started studying guitar seriously for the first time with a person who you possibly never heard of named Dennis Sandoli, who was one of John Coltrane's mentors.
You know, I know he made a record with a guitar man, Kenny Burrell. And I saw actually Kenny Burrell play here in Pedro. Dezzo's daddy booked it, Ozzy Cadena. Yeah, he didn't play a lot with guitar, but I supposedly 8 Miles High, right? Is the guitar solo and Robbie Krieger with the Doors too? Maybe
sure.
Yeah, so guitar and John Coltrane.
Yeah. Oh yeah, well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, I was never really that into jazz guitar per se. I mean, I always found that the trumpeters and the sax players and the pianists and the drummers were all doing more interesting and innovative things than, for the most part, the guitarists were sort of really great. You know, they were well beyond anything, you know, your typical rock and roll guitarist could do. But I was more attracted to those other instruments. On the other hand, I was a guitarist, so I wasn't going to all of a sudden start playing saxophone or piano, so I just took the guitar and said, let's see what I can do with this. And I don't really feel like I ever became a jazz guitarist per se. I feel like I had to, would have had to gone deeper backwards. You know, I always felt like I got in the side door by playing free jazz on guitar, you know? I don't know if that makes sense, but was the feeling I always got. I was able to jump on there, but to call myself a jazz guitarist, I mean, I learned a lot of the chords and I learned the theory and I loved all that. And I ended up using all of it in the Note Killers. But, so that was part of what I had done in between. And then I got into analog synth for a while. I took a course at Princeton University that led to me exploring that whole realm. And, but at some point, you know, I had totally given up on the idea of songs or like song structures, you know. And I was totally into like, long, free, noisy, you know, that whole, I don't know if that's a genre, but long, free, and noisy. But that's what I was into for a few years. Okay. And then I discovered reggae.
Okay.
You know, and that was the first thing that got me thinking, oh, wow, there's something you can still do with songs that has some meaning and some intensity and some vibe and some, you know.
Sure, sure. I saw Family Man and Barrett with Bob Marley.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Yeah, me too. Me
at
too.
At a basketball, UCLA, Poly Pavilion. We're at the end of the second hour, May 29, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest David First. Hold tight for hour three. May 29, 2021. It's the third hour of Wap Pedro Show.
I know.
Besties in my besties, baby. Runaway fast pace, fat ass fantasy. Besties in your besties, baby. Runaway first place, full face fantasy. Besties. Besties. Besties in my besties, baby. Runaway fast pace, fat ass fantasy. Besties in your besties, baby. Runaway first place, full face fantasy. Besties. Besties.
Let me freak out.
Watt for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with AM Radio Band, Flatcore, Petrified Max. That's Vetus from The Last. He's got his own band. Petrified Max, his second record. Basic. It's tune. Lewis Cole after that, Freaky Times. And then the World Casio Quartet, Strange Over. When you were doing the synthesizer, was that tied to a keyboard?
Well, yes and no. It was not. I mean, I was very lucky, and I didn't even realize how lucky I was at the time, I don't think. But this was a Buchla system, and I'm not sure if you know anything about the Buchlas, but they use these metal touch plates, touch-sensitive touch plates, that it looked nothing like a keyboard and acted nothing like a keyboard. You just use your fingers to trigger anything that you had patched up in your system. But not being a keyboardist and honestly not really being into, I mean, this was mid-70s, 76, 77, right before the No Killers. I was not into, like, what was going on with synthesizers for the most part. It was in the commercial realm, let's say, it was all, like, these jazz fusion players or prog rock players. And,
yeah,
you know,
terrible.
It was all like, you know, how fast could you play this weird-sounding organ?
Yeah, or fake strings or fake horns.
Yeah, and that didn't appeal to me at all, although I liked more of the academic, you know, older, let's say, electronic music that, you know, Karlheinz Stockhausen and people like that had done. So I was attracted to the sound, but and I wanted to learn more about it. But luckily, the Buchla did not have a keyboard. I mean, Don, do you know anything about, like, the difference between Don Buchla and Robert Moog? I mean, they both sort of came up along around the same time. It's a very interesting book about it. The name is escaping me, but that's easy enough to find.
There were some electronic music people that were anti-synthesizer, like Delia Derbyshire.
Oh, sure.
She thought it should be all tape, cut and tape, right? Going around door knobs and shit like that. It's just interesting. To me, music is music, and I love all the ways it can, you know, like nature, right? It'll find a way to be.
Sure. And that was Don Buchla's grand scheme, was that he wanted to encourage, maybe even force people to think outside the box. So he didn't want to hook it up to a piano-type keyboard the way Robert Moog, who was always looking for more, I don't want to say commercial, but more practical applications of synthesis, whereas Robert Moog was like, you know, hanging out with the dead and taking LSD and, you know, just like part of Kesey's acid trip festivals and... You know, so he was just like really, he had, you know, the brain and the interest in creating a synthesizer system that could be, you know, mass produced in a certain way, you know, but at the same time, he didn't want to do anything that would encourage piano playing on it. And that's what I ended up, you know, my first introduction to electronic music was that. So, or at least official electronic music in a studio, you know, like such as they had there.
I want to play Echoes of God opening up.
You can ride sword in a dojo.
Just me. Oh,
Pedro show.
I was lucky when I was a teenager that Carl Stone had a radio show here on KPFK.
Oh, wow.
Station. I think you guys have WBAI.
I wasn't in New York in those days, but there was like some college radio in Philadelphia that would play some more out there things.
Well, I'm trying to give you a reference. So he's in Tokyo now, but he would play all kinds of wild stuff. You know, like you were saying, Karlheinz Stockhausen and Mort Spotnik and all that trippy Hat Hoot Deutsche Grammophon. Yeah, these labels, and it was trippy. What is sound? What is music? You know, and it made me really get ready for when the movement came, to get rid of all my prejudices and get free of that genre shit. It's such an albatross around my neck. What's your current music thing right now, David?
What am I working on? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interestingly enough, to me, and maybe to some others, is, this whole pandemic thing has been a real pain in everybody's butt. Right before that, I actually reconvened the Note Killers to take part in this 2-day event in Philadelphia that was sort of a celebration of my music. Like the Western Hemisphere played. I had some pieces I wrote for an ensemble, for a percussion ensemble and a pianist that were played, things like such as that. And it was in Philadelphia, which is where we're from and where these guys still are. So I decided I would get them together and we would do something, which we hadn't done for a couple of years. Then we thought we would do more. And then, of course, everything fell apart for everybody. But I played very little guitar in the past year. A couple of the projects I did didn't include guitar. So I started, getting back into guitar because I asked those guys if they wanted to get together in June just to, have a little celebratory jam that we made it. And I started practicing guitar at night, just purposely for the first time in a long time. And a bunch of new Note Killer songs came out, which surprised me. And so I'd say that's the most recent thing, is that I actually have a whole bunch of new material to go down to Philadelphia with that we're going to work on and hopefully come out with a new album.
And where can people find you on the internet?
Well, I guess the best place is probably Bandcamp.
Is there a David First website?
Yeah. I don't necessarily keep that as up to date as, as far as music goes, as the Bandcamp site. But yeah, davidfirst.com. Sure.
Well, there's probably a link. David First, DavidFirst.com. It's probably
a link
to the Bandcamp page there, right?
Yeah. And there's also a NoteKillers.com for that matter.
Okay. We could get people to get all sleuthy, but why not make it obvious? They can find your stuff. Your music's very interesting. This stuff you gave me, I love, man. It's a big honor to have you aboard. And picking up music again with your old buddies. That's such a great thing.
It was a gift. When we got back together in the early 2000s and we were really going hot and heavy, I would go down there like a couple of days a week. And, I never lost touch with Barry. Steven I hadn't talked to for a bunch of years, actually. And I'm using the same guitar that I've had since I was 15. I'm holding that guitar and I'm looking out from it, from behind it, and looking at these two guys. And I have photos of us when we were 14 doing the same thing. And, it's crazy.
Yeah, but it's beautiful too.
Oh, yeah. Crazy beautiful.
Yeah. It's fucking very, very happening. But, I wrote this song where I'm kind of mocking taking music for granted. One of the lines is, playing it, play it. Because it is such a fucking blessing to get to do shit, especially with old buddies.
Yep.
Yeah. And interesting. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of duality with life and man alone and then man in, part of an ensemble and that kind of stuff. But it's about taking turns, I think. That's what I've learned. And thanks so much for coming on the show and talking about you. So you say new album. Because you got the new batch of songs.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here. There's not a new album. Yeah, I mean, that's would be my plan at this point. I mean, I don't want to do things. I mean, documenting things is pretty important at this point. Anything I do, I want to make sure it gets out there in some form. I mean, if we didn't document our first single, you know, if we didn't get that first single out, we wouldn't have gotten together again in the early 2000s, you know, because we got rediscovered at that point. And the Boothless stuff got rediscovered and was put out recently. So, you know, those things would have been lost forever. And I can think about other things that are lost forever because I didn't get to document.
Didn't document, so. Right. We used to think records were just fucking flyers for the gigs. Now, I totally agree with you. They are documents. Thanks so much for being on the show. People, it's been May 29, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.